Well, good evening. We're certainly glad to be here again tonight. We're going to look through some more Titus. We are moving right along. We're in chapter 3. There are three chapters in Titus. So we are in the last chapter of Titus. A powder keg maybe tonight. I don't know if it's going to go off or not, but there's a powder keg here tonight because we're going to talk about a reminder to all of us about being in subjection to those over us, especially those in authoritative positions, rulers. Let's just go ahead and use that dirty word, politicians. It's not necessarily so, and they aren't all. Kind of like we need to be reminded of that too, that even though we think sometimes they are not. And we need to have a proper perspective and a reminder today. I thought it was interesting that the word reminder, which we're going to see here in the beginning of chapter 3, the very first word in my Bible in chapter 3 is remind. Remind them. Remind us. And that word reminder is a combination of two Greek words, means to put under or preference of one thing over another. And I hope we see tonight this one thing over another is really our priority, is really what we should be reminded of. And we do need reminders. That's why we have the elements there to remind us. Because don't we forget? We do forget. I got a great reminder this week. The Lord gave me, we were teaching the summer missionaries some different games, and I decided I'd go out in the yard and play clothespin tag. I won the game, by the way. I had the most clothespins, but I fell and kind of tweaked my ribs right here. So every day after that, I had this reminder with me. Don't do that. You'll fall. So we need reminders. And so that word reminder, that's our reminder is our title today. And so our theme being, if we need a reminder, the Lord's reminding us of something that we should never forget. That's why he reminds us of things. He doesn't want us to ever forget these things. And if we're looking at the book of Titus here, one of the things that Titus is being told by the Apostle Paul, who is being told these things, of course, by the Lord and the Holy Spirit, is to remind them of their position in Christ. And I want to remind you and I tonight of our position, saved by grace, not of anything that I've done in and of myself that I deserved, but we are saved by grace. Alone, by faith alone, in Christ's shed blood on the cross alone. There is no other way than that. We need to be reminded of that because we are so quick to say, I'll add to that. And Paul talked to Titus about that, of this adding to the law or adding genealogies or adding just fables or traditions or man's ideas. And we want to have the gospel plus, but the gospel needs to be pure and we need to be reminded of that. Grace in our lives every day, every day. And so we want to be reminded and never forget these things. And so I ask myself this week, so knowing these things and being reminded of these things, what should I do? And what are my priorities? I want to answer those tonight. It did for me in this passage. What should I do and what are my priorities? So what should be my priorities? In other words, what do I need to remember most? And what do I need to never forget? And so we're going to just cover the first three verses tonight of Titus chapter 3. And so we'll read those, and then we will look at these things. I think there's some pertinent things for us today, especially in our world and our political positions, political goings-on in our country, and we need to be reminded of who we are in Christ. Of course, Titus has been telling the people there, Paul's been telling him to make sure one of the themes of the book of Titus is to have good works, to be zealous for good works, to be zealous for good works with the right motives behind those works. That's important too, the right motives behind those things. And so Titus 1 through 3, let's read together. This is the word of the Lord to us tonight. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. We also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another, lest we forget what we were before we were saved. Let's pray as we begin. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for this passage and teaching us through these men that you chose long ago to write these things down for us. You instruct us today clearly. You teach us the truth from your word, and we trust it. But Lord, it's more than trusting. We ask that we would have hearts that would submit to it. That we would have hearts that long to be obedient and desires to live correctly in our society today, pointing people to Jesus, our Savior, who saved us from the wrath to come, who saved us not in anything that we have done in and of ourselves. Because of your great mercy, we have received the righteousness that is of Christ. We have received a hope that is eternal. We have been placed as citizens of heaven today. We need to be reminded we are headed home. So help us with these things tonight. Help us and teach us, guide us and direct us, open our hearts and our minds, illumine those to your word and to your truth tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, reminders. I've told this story before. I don't know that I've told it here before, but it's just too good not to tell. Reminders. My wife has an aunt that lives a mile from us. A couple, 3 years ago, the family decided to get together because she never had a garage and she's getting older and the ground is slippery in the winter. Build her an attached garage to her house. They got together and they built her a garage for us. One problem, she's 90-some years, 95 now, Alice is. She's never had a garage in her life. She just gets in her car and backs out. But there's a garage door there now. But she bumped it, damaged it. They fixed it. So she hung a little tennis ball in the garage as she goes out by her car to remind her when she gets in the car to open the garage door. She got in the car, there's a tennis ball, forgot, opened the door. So she decided to hang a rag in the window of her car to remind her that the ball was hanging there in the garage to remind her to open the garage door so she wouldn't back into it. She backed into it. So they fixed it. So she hung a tennis ball at the back door that would bump her in the head to show her the rag, to show her the tennis ball, so she wouldn't back into the garage door. I don't think it worked completely, but it would help. Did it work? She had three reminders now to not hit that garage door. We need reminded, don't we? We need reminders. I oftentimes head to the cupboard anymore and think, why am I here? What am I doing here? What was I coming for? So, reminders about physical things, but we need to be reminded about our spiritual life and our walk before the world, especially in the body of Christ. We need to be reminded of how to live and how to live correctly. And so the Apostle Paul is going to charge us, or charge Titus, to instruct the men that are there that have been appointed as elders and deacons, those within the church. He wants a reminder to them now. He wants them. Kind of fits after verse 15 of chapter 2. It says, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And remind them, he says in verse 1 of chapter 3. Remind them. Remember who's in charge and the goal of why you seek to obey. That's our first reminder. Remind yourself of who's in charge of all things in the world and your priority, or why you seek to obey him. I saw this week in Seattle, they've created an autonomous locked-in area. You know why we do that? That's just plain, I want to tell you today, that's just plain sinful, because we are not in charge. And people in their sinfulness disregard God's autonomy. I'll tell you what an autonomous zone is. It's the universe. And God's in charge of it all. We need to remind ourselves that God is over all and sovereign over all those things. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And so God has placed these leaders, kings. God moves a king's heart like channels of water, and they go the direction that he wants them to go. God is in charge of all things. We need to be reminded of that, that God is autonomous. God is in charge of all things. All is under his control. Doesn't seem that way sometimes, but Paul says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. So God places men, whether it be a president, whether it be a dictator. Hitler was appointed by God to rule in the era that he ruled, in the way that he ruled, for the purposes of God. Just he was. God sets up all people, and he has those in place for a purpose. We may not see it. We may not understand it. We may fight against it. And there were some who did, and they were probably rightly so, in saving lives and hiding people. And we can't always just obey when it goes against God's word and people's lives are at risk. We have an obligation, but we need to remember that God is ultimately in control. You know, in God's grace, he has given those people, policemen, military, in God's grace, he has given those people for order in the world. That's part of God's grace. For without them, it's chaos. And in God's grace, he has allowed governments, he has allowed kings to be set up. In his grace, he has given order, because God is a God of order. Well, those words, we want to look at these words. It says, be in subjection to them. And that word subjection means to be under dominion, control, under allegiance to. And so it isn't just those ones that we like, or the ones we are in our Democratic Party. We need to be in subjection. As long as we're not asked to go against anything from God's word, we're to seek to live peaceably under that government. We're to seek to live a life of joy, serving the Lord in our freedom. And we need to enjoy those graces that God gives us under that government, not just the ones we like. So that rulers, that word means the first in order to rule. Authorities, the power to settle issues, the right to control or to command. It's a power given by God. They have that right because God gave it to him. We need to be obedient. That word obedient in that first verse there. Remind them to be under authority, under subjection, under the authority and rulers, and to be obedient. To submit to authority. To be persuaded by a ruler. Conform to advice. Ready with feet planted on the gospel and prepared to live it and share it. That's our priority one. Priority number one. Pastor Bill talked about it a little bit this morning. You know what I don't want to lose in my desire to have a better America? Is my witness. I don't want to lose my witness. I don't want to lose my opportunity. Paul said that. I don't want to be disqualified. I box the air as a boxer. I run so as to win. Win what? Win other souls to Christ. I want to not lose my witness. Obedient, to submit to authority, to be persuaded by a ruler, conform to advice, ready, feet planted on the gospel and solid there, and prepared to live it and to share it. That was what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to have priority one right, to live pleasing to God with their feet planted on the gospel, a firm foundation to share that. Share that. You know, this week I've spent the week up with the young missionaries helping to train them this week. And by the way, tomorrow we'll go out and do our practice club. If you would please pray for Grace tomorrow. She's in the group that I'm taking out tomorrow. And she is struggling with her lessons, and she is struggling with to present. And we've got her doing a part tomorrow in our club. But you know, I was walking out to the woods this afternoon thinking and praying about that. And I, kind of like what we talked about before, you know, there's different parts of the body of Christ. We don't all have the same talents. We don't have all the same abilities. And I told her that this week. She broke down one day a little bit, had to do a little bit of counseling right there, you know. But you know what? She has a part, and she has an important part. She has a very important part. And God can use her. Doesn't have to be like anybody else, but God can use her. I told her that. God can use you. You need to be a part of this team we're going to take out, and you're an important part to us. We need you. God has placed you here for that reason. You have a part to play in this club to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. She's just going to do a verse tomorrow teaching. But that's an important part. And you can have fruit come from that small part. You can have an opportunity to be used of God just in a small way. But if that's what God has planned for you, God is in charge of those things. And so accept that and be joyous about that. You know, the biggest thing is we want to have certain points down and we want to know certain verses, and those are all good things. But when push comes to shove, when we want to have that witness and we want to tell other people, we want people to see our hearts for the gospel. We want people to see Christ in us, in other words. And I told her that. I said, you know, just don't worry about exactly saying a certain way. Just teach from your heart what God means to you and what these kids in front of you mean to God. Teach from your heart. Give a testimony about who you are with how you teach and what priority you have for that. You know, in Acts chapter 21, turn back there, Acts 21. The Apostle Paul was getting ready to head out, and he says there in chapter 21 of Acts, verse 11, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt. This is Agabus. He'd been sent there, a prophet. And he took Paul's belt, and he bound his own feet and hands, and he said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When he had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. See what Paul's heart was? Priority one. He said, I am ready. I know there are powers there that want to arrest me and kill me. I know there are authorities there who have the power to do that. But he said, I am ready to what? I am ready to die for the gospel. I want to reach as many as I can. If they want to take my life, I'm going to go with a witness for the Lord, worthy of the position that we're called to. And so that's our first point, the officials. We are to be in subjection to them. Be reminded, he says. Remind them to be in authority. Be in subjection to the authorities. Be peaceable. Be in subjection to them as much as we can under God's word with our priority, the testimony of the gospel. And for others, that's the officials. And then for the others in verse 2, he says they need to be ready for every good deed. You know, it doesn't say for just some good deeds. It says for every good deed. That should be on our heart every single day, every person we meet. We'll talk about that in a second. But every good deed, we should be willing to do that. Not just some here and there, not just, you know what the popular thing is today, or it was for a while, probably isn't anymore, random acts of kindness. You know, just randomly throw one out there and maybe God will have enough of them piled up later and take you to heaven. Random acts of kindness. I think we should have always acts of kindness. It says, be ready for every good deed. And as far as others go, remind them. Reminded how we should treat others. Malign no one. That word malign means evil in nature. Speak about someone in spiteful or critical manner. slander, or harmful lies. Isn't it easy to go there when someone wrongs us? That's our nature. We need to be reminded of our position in Christ and how to treat others. To malign no one. To slander no one. To speak evil about no one. I hope in that, you know, I hope the opposite side of that, of malign no one, especially within the body of Christ, I hope that you spend your time praying for everyone. Praying for one another. Praying and just, you know, many times when we as pastors meet out here on Tuesday mornings, you know, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, but I want to tell you, a lot of times many of your names are called out. Because we're reminded of who you are in the body of Christ. We're reminded to pray for you and to think about you. Not maligning you, but praying for you, for the best for you. So malign no one. But he says then, goes on to the positive, but be peaceable, wanting to avoid strife, not argumentative or hostile, but gentle. But gentle. Not wanting to be in an argument and a fight and just to win that argument or to win that fight. That's the way the world lives out there, wanting to be on top or wanting to win that argument or quickly going into fisticuffs over stupid things that have no eternal value. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus was meek and mild and humble, but he was no mamsy-pamsy. Don't be confused with that. Jesus knew where he stood, and he knew that with an eternal view, and he stood his ground on the truth. But he wasn't going to run over anybody with it. Doesn't mean that at all. Gentle and meek. And I looked those words up in the concordance. And this, I wrote this down, this definition, I thought it was really good for us to be reminded of these things. Meekness toward God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good. Do we do that all the time? Oh, I fell down and cracked my rib. That was good. It was a good reminder. God's dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. The meek man truly acknowledges himself. This is the best part of it. The meek man truly acknowledges himself as a sinner among sinners. And his knowledge of his own sin teaches him to meekly endure the provocation of others, not to withdraw from the burdens their sins may impose on him. The meek are those who rely on God and not on their own strength at all. And when Jesus stood before his accusers, he was meek as a lamb and answered not a thing, but he kept entrusting himself to his Father in heaven. That is strength in meekness. That is relying on God in the heat of the fire. He's saying, they may come at me, but my true hope and my true strength is in, I still trust God. And I may not understand it today, and you may not understand it today, but these things are for our good, ultimately and eternally. And we will know one day. We will see one day. And I believe we will tell Jesus, thank you one day. Even though it may not be on your lips today, but I believe we'll tell God, thank you for did in my life, the things you taught me, and the growth that you caused in the midst of the strife to still trust you. Gentle in nature, in other words, showing every consideration. You know what it says there? Gentle, showing every consideration. Consideration means to keep in mind, forbearing, patient, not insisting on the letter of the law. Reasonable, kind, fair, moderate, a quality of wisdom from above, not from my own wisdom. Reasonable. I think we could probably say common sense. Common sense. You know, I read this week, and this makes no sense to me at all. You know the whole thing that's going on our political stage right now. Black Lives Matter. I read this week that Planned Parenthood, to stand in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, is offering 50% off on all black women who want to get an abortion. What? How is that black life? How is that any life matters? How? Life is precious from the conception. God knits together, and we don't know how, the bones and the marrow, and causes life to happen. We may not know it and understand it, but we want to submit to God's word and say that God knew me before I was formed in the womb. And when conception happened, I was already planned. And so to take that life is nothing but murder. How does that make any sense, what we're doing in our world today? It doesn't. Reasonable, according to God's truth, we are reasonable, kind and fair and moderate, and a quality of wisdom from above. You notice it says to all men, not some here and there, not the ones we agree with, not the ones that we like best. It says consideration for all men. For all men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 26 says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Did you see what he wrote to Timothy? Priority one was be considerate, be even when you're wronged, because that's a soul that's lost to hell that you're talking to. You know, we had some training this week, and I just thought it was so good talking to about preschoolers. Beth Emelander, Willett now, came and taught us about some preschooler ideas. And she said that she had one of the most challenging years she's ever had in this year at school. A smaller class, but a lot of disruption, we'll just say. One boy was diagnosed, she told me, with something behavioral synosis, disobedient disorder. That's what it was actually called. It's actually a disease, evidently, now. And I asked her afterwards, I said, I just got to ask you, is that real? She goes, you know, I struggle with that. But in these disobedient children, we have to remember, they're sinners from birth. And we want to correct the behavior and not get the sinner caught up in the behavior and throw that all out together. She said, that child needs Jesus just like an adult. His behavior may be acting out, but he still needs Christ. And here we see, Timothy says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but he must be kind, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. You know what that is? That's knowing the Word of God. And that's sharing not only the gospel truths, but that's sharing our very lives and our hearts with those that are around us that are lost in sin and enslaved by the devil for an eternity away from God. They might come to their senses. You know, he talked about this earlier in chapter 1, where he said, you know, we want to conduct ourselves in such a way so that maybe, perhaps they would come and turn to the way of truth. In verse 14 of chapter 1, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. They want them to turn back to the truth. He wants to win them back, reconcile them if they're just going astray. That's how we treat others, or we should treat others. Not maligning them, but to be peaceable and gentle, showing every consideration for all men, knowing that God's in control of these things. It's not for our harm, it's for our good. And our priority one is to have our witness intact and to be able to share the gospel. Don't want to lose that opportunity. Paul didn't either. But lest we forget, ourselves is the third point. And in verse 3, and I think this is very important too. Three times in verse 3, he says, we ourselves are. You know what he's saying? You and me and Paul. He didn't say, now I want you all to start behaving like me. I want you all to just look to my example. He did that some, but Paul knew. He says in other parts of Scripture, I was the chief of sinners. I didn't deserve this grace. He never lost sight of that. And here he throws himself in with his, we ourselves, unless we forget, unless I forget, Paul says, in other words, we ourselves and our, you and me and Paul. And he says there, once we were foolish ourselves, Paul includes himself in that. Lack of sense, unwise, disobedient. That word means unwilling. You know what that word means? I looked that up too. Unwilling to be persuaded. Unwilling to be persuaded. You know, I talked to the kids about that this week too. You can present the best gospel lesson ever, or the best wordless book ever. And you want to be ready to do that. You want to be able to be used of God for His purpose. When you get that presented, you know who saves that child or that person? It's God's business from there. It's God's power. You can't talk him into it. You can't persuade him into it. It's the Holy Spirit that enlightens them. It's like, what's the name of that movie with the little kids? The Despicable Me. The little kids, you know, light bulb comes on to the gospel. Our eyes are opened. Our hearts are receptive to it all of a sudden. But unwilling to be persuaded, but we need to be patiently praying for them. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to turn there just for a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul reminds them there in Ephesus, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of this world, according to the spirit now is now working in the sons of disobedience, or those unwilling to be persuaded. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But you know, the next verse is, but God. It's God that does that. Being led astray, deceiving, or being deceived. You know what I wrote here? It isn't only being deceived, but you know what else this is? This is deceiving yourself. We do that, don't we? You know what it's called? It's called justification for my actions. We deceive ourselves saying, that was all right what I did there. I mean, let's just weigh this out. That's a better thing that I did than what they did. I'm going to take the high ground and I'm okay. I say so. And we're right back to, I'm in charge instead of God, and not submitting to the word of God. Being led astray or deceiving ourselves. Slaving after the flesh. You know what people do that all the time. Slave after the things of this world. Slave after the things of this world. Pearl said something to me last Sunday night after we were talking a little bit afterwards. She goes, you know, you can't drag heaven down to earth or earth up to heaven. You can't take earth to heaven. That's what it was. You can't take earth to heaven. And we want to do that, don't we? We want to slave after the things that are pleasing to the flesh. Spending our life. You know, few people really have a picture and a priority that God, I think, gives this priority to. One of the greatest commodities that you have in this world isn't your bank account. Isn't your car, your home? You know what it is? Your time. Your time. Giving up yourself for others. Not spending your time on pleasures and self, but giving up your time for others. One of the greatest commodities we have is that. Spending our time, our life, not in malice, not in envy, not in hating others and being angry with them. You know what we end up doing? Blaming others for our problems. Blaming other people for our own problems. And we go to the blame game. You know where that started, don't you? In the Garden of Eden. was that woman you gave me. I better not point that way. It was that woman you gave me. It was the snake that made me do it, or the serpent made me do it. No, I mean, she, you know, it started right there. It's not my fault. We need to own our sin. Spending our life, not spending our time and our life in malice and the wrong things that aren't eternal, hateful things, worthless things. You end up hating one another. James says, what are the source of your troubles? It's your own lust, after lusting after the wrong things. You ask, you don't receive because you ask for the wrong things. Lust breeds hate, and hate breeds death, and there you are. You're at the end, away from God. Well, I want to finish up with this, our application question, or our proposition. What should I do then? What should I do? Priorities. One is the gospel. Here's number one. I got just four points, okay, for application. What do I need to do? What should I do? First of all, ask God for forgiveness. If you are not saved, if you have never trusted the Lord as your Savior, ask God for the forgiveness of your sins. Simple prayer. Talk to God about that. You talk to God about, you know that that sin that you have in your life is something that you can't fix yourself, and it separates you from God, and it will separate you from God forever. But Jesus came and paid the price on the cross for your sin and for mine. And he died there. He bled out. And they put him in a cave. He was dead 3 days, but he didn't stay dead. The grave couldn't hold him. He had no sin. And 3 days later, he came alive, and he was witnessed by many people and touched and ate with people, and then they saw him ascended into high, and then the Holy Spirit came. Christ is the only answer to our sin. So begin with confession of sin and asking for forgiveness. And tell God what you believe in your heart and understand, and ask God to save you and forgive you and bring you into his family. You are saved. Maybe there's a sin we need to confess tonight. That I've justified some things in my life that I want to stay autonomous over. I want to stay in control of these things. And God, you can have the rest, but I'm hanging on to these. Or I like everybody but that one that I just don't get along with quite, and you know how difficult they are. And so I'm just going to like love everybody but just half love that person. And that's okay, right, God? What does it say? It says, for every good deed, for all men. For all men. You don't get to pick and choose, and I don't either. Ask God who I can bless today with the truth. What God did for me. Ask God who I can bless today with the truth of the gospel. Are you looking for that? So often that hell and I go out or this and that, and I look at people's lives, and I don't know where they are. But it doesn't happen often, but I long for an opportunity to share the truth. What's going on in their life? Do they know Jesus? Ask God who I can bless today with the truth. Ask God to help me step aside in consideration of someone else today. You know, we're so all about being first in line, grabbing the last roll of toilet paper off the shelf, knocking her down even though she's got a walker. Who can I step aside in consideration of someone else today? Ask God to remind me every day, how much he loves me, and what he saved me from, so I can share that truth with someone else. Romans 5:8 says, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me, lest I forget. I need that reminder. God's grace, God's goodness, of God's eternal plan in my life and yours, no matter what the world says around us, no matter what's happening out there, we have a hope that goes beyond here, and I need to be reminded of that every day. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you tonight for your goodness to us, your grace to us, the forgiveness that's found in Christ alone. What a great and wonderful God you are. Save a sinner like me. But may we share our hearts. May we maintain our witness in the world that goes crazy around us. May we keep our senses in consideration of others, of all people that don't know you. We would have an opportunity to share what you've done in our lives with them. We give you the praise and the glory, both now, tomorrow, and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's sing one more hymn before we part ways tonight. Number 601, I'll Fly Away, 601. Sing the first and the last. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away.